venerable religious and dear parishioners, I would like to talk to you today about one of the most important three-letter words I could possibly mention to you. There is, of course, the most important three-letter word, which is God. That will always be the most important word overall in any language. But I want to talk to you about a word that signifies so much, that signifies the repair of the ruin of the human race through the sin of Adam and Eve. I want to talk to you today about a three-letter word that reversed the harm, that was the beginning of salvation, that implies the redemption. This three-letter word is in the Latin language, and this word is Ave. That's the word we use for hail, as in Hail Mary. Ave Maria. You know, there have been a lot of reflections upon this word by various writers through the centuries, and it has been noticed that it reverses, it's the exact reverse of the name of our first mother in Latin. Of course, it wasn't in Latin that the angel Gabriel appeared and spoke to Our Lady. We presume it was in her own native Aramaic. But as we know, Latin is the official language of the church, and so we have this word Ave, and you turn it around, you get Eva. That's the name of our first mother in Latin. And we do have to reflect upon that great sin which she, and especially Adam, committed. And it's not to point the finger like, oh, such terrible people. Would we have done better? We can't be assured of that. But nevertheless, it is true. That sin caused so much harm. I was listening to a sermon on original sin, and the priest was saying that Eve committed a total of 5 sins in her eating of the forbidden fruit, but ladies, don't feel bad because Adam committed 8. There was rebellion, there was disobedience, there was pride, there was questioning of God. So that ruined things so much for the human race. Remember, Adam and Eve lost sanctifying grace, the greatest gift of all. They lost immortality. They lost control of their body. The soul perfectly controlled the body. They had infused knowledge. They lost all of that. And every one of their billions of children through the centuries also would lose those gifts, which they otherwise would have inherited. But again, it's not about pointing at Adam and Eve, how bad they were. We know what sinners we are too. So Eva listened to the serpent. She listened to the devil, who told her to question God, to rebel against God. The devil was calling God a liar, and Eve believed that lie. Eva, our first mother. But then 4,000 years later, a good angel was sent, one of the highest possible archangels, Gabriel, and he changed Eva around. Ave, hail, full of grace. Eva And what was their response? This is the key thing. What is their response? We know what Eve's response was to the devil. She listened to that bad angel. But fortunately, Mary was now going to listen to the good angel. And my dear friends, there's such a depth of inspiration and knowledge and wisdom and grace in this Hail Mary. I want to just talk about the Hail Mary today to you, to help you better pray your daily rosary, to know what a treasure, what a grace each Hail Mary is. And as I said, the significance couldn't be more powerful of that Ave, of what it was turning around, the good that it was going to bring into the world, and the repair of the harm caused by Eva. When St. Luke writes the words of the angel in his gospel, and this is where we learn these words, we find that he uses and I've mentioned this before, and I remember repeatedly sharing it with the high school students in combined theology last year. Kekaritomine is the word that St. Luke uses. That means full of grace, but we lose some of the understanding when we put it into our language. We just hear full of grace, but what it means when you study the Greek is you're filled to the brim of grace, with grace. There's an implication there that there was never a moment when you were without grace. So this is the Immaculate Conception. Kekaritomine. This word is not found anywhere else in the Bible. It's the only time you'll find it. There's a word for Stephen, the first martyr of the church, being full of charity, but the kekaritomine would not be used for him. Nobody can compare to our Blessed Mother in her holiness and in her grace, which God gave to her, which she cooperated with. She said yes to God every single moment of her life. What a great undoing of Eva's harm. The angel said, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Not may the Lord be with thee. Several times during the Mass, the priest turns around and says or sings, Dominus vobiscum. May the Lord be with you. And the server or the choir answers, et cum spiritu tuo, and with thy spirit. It's a prayer because we have so far to go. But with Mary, it was not, may the Lord be with thee. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Not only does the angel say that, but it will also be repeated when Mary goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth. Blessed art thou among women. What other lady in all of human history has been called this? Blessed art thou among women. We can't grasp really an adequate idea of the greatness of our Blessed Mother. And Scripture tells us very clearly how great, what that dignity is. And of course, we can only try to grasp it more and more. Meditate on it. So all of that in just one verse of St. Luke, heaping praises upon this most worthy creature of God who never offended him in any way, who cooperated with every grace, who never said no to God. And when she was told she would be the mother of the Redeemer, and she knew from prophecy and from inspiration how much the Redeemer would have to suffer, she said yes to that painful sacrifice. We can't thank our Blessed Mother enough, can we? That Ave did so much to change the unfortunate things that went before. So it's straight out of Scripture. Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and Elizabeth, her cousin, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. We add, of course, Jesus. He hadn't been named yet. It wasn't Elizabeth's duty to name him. That's why in Scripture it doesn't say, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. St. Joseph, as the adopted father of Jesus, was called upon to bestow his name in the circumcision. And then the second half of the Hail Mary, it's so inspiring and comforting, even though it's not from Scripture. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Don't we need Our Lady's help now, throughout all of the hours of life, and at that most critical hour that we will ever experience, the hour of our death? Our whole life is a preparation for that hour of death, whenever it will be. We know not when. But one thing we know, that the more often we have prayed this, it's called the angelic salutation. St. Louis de Marie de Montfort loves to call it that. He says it over and over again, the angelic salutation, the Hail Mary. The more we have prayed that devoutly and well, the more grace and assistance we will have from our Blessed Mother at the hour of our death. Let me share with you a couple of other quotes here from St. Louis Marie de Montfort, from his wonderful book, The Secret of the Rosary. That's another one you have to read. Make it your goal this month, the month of the Holy Rosary, to read St. Louis Marie de Montfort's magnificent, inspiring treatise on the Rosary. I'm sure you can even find it on the internet. That we have it for sale, I'm sure, in our bookstore. It's available from other outlets. It's so tender in its devotion to Our Lady, and St. Louis calls each chapter a rose. Why? Because he compares every Hail Mary and every Our Father of the Rosary to a spiritual rose that we give to our Lord, that we give to our Blessed Mother. And by the way, this is from True Devotion. He says, why do we say, blessed art thou among women, or why does Scripture say, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus? Because in order to praise Jesus more worthily, we do well to praise her, because she leads us to Jesus. So a beautiful insight of St. Louis de Montfort. But let me share, as I said, a couple of other quotes. And I often print these in the bulletin during the month of October in past years, because they are really amazing quotes on the power of the Hail Mary and, by extension, the Rosary. This is in today's bulletin. Even if you are on the brink of damnation, even if you have one foot in hell, even if you have sold your soul to the devil, and even if you are a heretic as obstinate as a devil, sooner or later you will be converted and will amend your life and will save your soul. And if, and mark well what I say, if you say the Holy Rosary devoutly every day until death, for the purpose of knowing the truth and obtaining contrition and pardon for your sins. That's how powerful the Rosary is. It can even break a compact with the devil of selling one's soul to the devil. That's how powerful the Hail Mary is and the Rosary. Continuing from The Secret of the Rosary, in another place, Blessed Alan says, all priests say a Hail Mary with the faithful before preaching to ask for God's grace. They do this because of a revelation that St. Dominic had from Our Lady. My son, she said one day, do not be surprised that your sermons fail to bear the results you had hoped for. You are trying to cultivate a piece of ground which has not had any rain. Now, when God planned to renew the face of the earth, he started by sending down rain from heaven, and this was the angelic salutation. In this way, God reformed the world. So when you give a sermon, urge people to say my rosary, and in this way your words will bear much fruit for souls. So you see, there's a very practical reason there for the Hail Mary. It softens the soil, you might say, of our heart, makes it more open to it's spiritual rain. It softens the soil. We're better able to take in the seed of the Word of God, and it will, with that better prepared soil, be able to take better root and grow better in our soul. So very important, that Hail Mary at the beginning of a sermon. Now, here's another quote, and this, again, it's not official church teaching, but this is St. Louis Reed de Montfort in an officially approved book talking about the value of a Hail Mary. Listen. Blessed Alan also relates that a nun who had always had a great devotion to the rosary appeared after her death to one of her sisters in religion and said to her, "If I were able to return in my body to have the chance of saying just a single Hail Mary, even without great fervor, I would gladly go through the sufferings that I had during my last illness all over again in order to get the merit of one Hail Mary. It would be worth it." It is to be noted that she had been bedridden and suffered agonizing pains for several years before she died. That is astounding. How many Hail Marys can you pray in your lifetime? Pray them well. Connect with our Blessed Mother. Know that you are participating in one of the most powerful three-letter words that's ever been heard in all of human history. Know that you're doing great good in the world. You're building peace. You're helping convert sinners. And you are preparing all the more for that hour of death, whenever it will come. And we pray that Our Lady will take her with us to heaven, to be with her Son, and to forever praise and pray that Hail Mary with all the other praises and with all the praises of God forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.